find you a place where you go, amen, a prayer closet. You find you a prayer room, amen. And he says, wherever it is, you go and close the door. This is private prayer. And after you have closed the door, pray to your Father in secret, or your Father who is in secret that you can't see. And your Father who is unseen, your Father who is in secret, shall reward thee openly. Isn't that wonderful? That's mighty that we can go and we can enter into prayer, and you won't see God. You won't see him. Because you say your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret is going to reward you publicly, openly. We should go and pray. It is a powerful resource, spiritual resource that we have. Amen. Like the Word of God is a spiritual resource. And God has promised us that when you do that, I'm going to reward you openly. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He says that that's what I want you to do. Amen. There was public prayer. There was private prayer. Amen. But they had a pattern of prayer. Amen. Amen. We find in Psalms 55 and 17, we find that the psalmist says, evening, morning, and noon will I pray to thee. I will cry aloud, and thou shalt hear my voice. That's interesting. Praying out loud. Amen. The private prayer in the psalmist in Psalms 5:3 said, my voice shall I hear in the morning. Let the devil hear your prayer. A lot of folks scared. Amen. They wonder if I can't pray out loud because the devil will hear my prayer and he'll get in and he'll block my. No, let the devil hear it, because that can obligate God even more committed to proving him wrong. So let the devil let it out so that God will reward you in front of the devil. No, don't hide it. Let it out. Be bold enough to say it and not care if the devil hears it. So that God says, you know, he done heard it. Now I know I got to go answer their prayer now. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. Amen. In the morning. Amen. Get a quiet time. In the morning, O Lord, I will direct my prayer unto thee and look up. Amen. There were patterns of prayer, and that's what we find in Psalms 55, 17. And we also find Daniel, you remember Daniel. Daniel in Daniel 6:10. Daniel, this man who came to Babylon as a child, as a teenager, wouldn't eat what they ate, chose to eat vegetarian style. But Daniel went but now Daniel is believed to be about 80 years old. He's been in Babylon now for 66 years. And we find old Daniel still praying. You see, the king had said, anybody praying, if I catch anybody praying, I'm going to throw them in a den of lions. Daniel said, and the Bible says that Daniel, when he knew that the writing was signed, in other words, he knew that once the king signed it, it was law. Everybody had to do it. There were going to be consequences. And the kings in those days were not allowed to take your word back. Once you gave your word, you couldn't take it back. No changing in that. No changes. That portrayed a weak king. So if you just said you're going to do it, you got to do it. You know, second guessing. You can't say, oh, I like Daniel, so let him off. No. And so Daniel, we find Daniel going in at 80-year-old man. He says, after Daniel knew, Daniel 6:10, that the writing was signed, he says he opened his window toward Jerusalem. Amen, amen, amen. Because God has said anybody praying toward this place going to get their prayer answered. That's why you find Jonah in the belly of the whale still trying to find out where east is. Because he said anybody praying toward. So Daniel was in Babylon, but he was still praying toward the temple. And what did it say? Daniel prayed 3 times a day as he did aforetime. No changes for Daniel. 80-year-old man, still praying. No changes made. Daniel was committed to praying. He was committed to prayer. I wonder why. What did he know that we don't know? I know that there is power in prayer. But you've got to know the power of it to do it. So apparently the fact that we don't do it may be an indictment that we don't know the power that it has. Prayer is powerful. It's so powerful that Jesus said, man ought to always pray. Amen. That's a lot of praying. It doesn't mean that you can't stop and get a ham sandwich. It doesn't mean that you can't stop and go to the bathroom. But what it means is that you should always be in an attitude of prayer, and to understand that prayer is a process. Amen. Prayer is not just something that you do, but prayer is a process. Prayer is not a monologue. Prayer includes you and God. And you ought to pray. We see that prayer, he said you ought to always pray. Notice what he says, and not faint. Amen. That word faint means quit. In other words, you can stop praying, but you can't quit praying. What's the difference? Well, you may have to stop to do something, but the fact is that you shouldn't quit or give up on that prayer. What he's saying is man ought to always pray and never give up. Amen. Believe in that prayer. Don't faint along the way. When you pray to God, then you ought to, amen, you ought to never give up on that prayer. Well, the fact of the matter is that prayer is important. And he says man ought to always do it and not faint. Amen. Man ought to do it and not faint. Man ought to do it and not faint. Man ought to do it and not faint. Amen. Amen. Your prayer, amen, is not complete until God has spoken. Amen. Because it's not a monologue. You see, we make the mistake of thinking, and the reason why we don't have any respect for prayer is, for us, prayer is just something we do. We go to God and tell him stuff and go back. We go to God and tell him and go back. We go to God and tell him and go back. And we're waiting on him to answer the prayer that may not even be according to his will, according to 1 John 5:14. That's not prayer. That's a monologue. That's a one-way conversation. And what I want us to understand is that prayer is a dialogue. You pray, and God answers. Vine's called this prayer is to make a request. Vine's dictionary says it means to make a request. Cruden's Concordance says that praying, to pray means to make an appeal. I say that this is the sincere desire of the God of the heart unto God. Now, Daniel, when you read his prayer, Daniel, you say, well, sometimes I may not have nothing to ask God. Well, go thank God. It says in Daniel 16 that Daniel prayed and thanked God. That's a good reason to go, to thank him. Amen. I got to ask for nothing. Don't you like when your children come to you and they just want to say, I just want to thank you for being the parents you are. I'm not asking anything. I don't need the car keys. I don't need to go out. I don't need no favors. I just want to thank you. There were prayers of thanksgiving. Well, the truth is that he says that we ought to pray, and prayer is powerful. Prayer is important. We ought to pray. But prayer, amen, is something that it's not that you should keep on requesting, but it means that you shouldn't quit listening. In other words, since prayer is between you and God, it's not that you should just go and keep requesting, but it means that you should not quit listening. Amen. You don't just keep requesting, but what you shouldn't do is quit listening. So when you pray, you got to wait. The prayer is not over. The prayer is still in process. Amen. Prayer is still in process at that point. And what he's saying is, you do not need to abort the process of prayer. Prayer is in motion. And the prayer is not really complete until God's voice has been heard. That prayer is not over. And so what it's telling us is that we are going to have to pray to God and realize from now on that prayer is between you and God, and the goal is to pray to him and to get his will done, and you have to wait to see what he... And the problem is, a lot of folk, they don't wait for the other... for the process to finish. They make their requests, and that's all they do. It's a lifetime of just making requests to God. No, prayer is to serve God's purpose. Prayer is to serve God's will. Because remember, it's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. Prayer is not designed to get what we want done. You go to the Lord like Jesus did in Luke 22:42 and say, "Lord, remove this cup. That's what I want." But the prayer is still in process. Nevertheless, not my will. It's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. Prayer is designed to get his will done, not our will done. And that is what we must recognize. And what we see here in this text is that this guy goes, and what he does is he says that Lord, I have a request. And what Jesus said, men ought to always pray and not to faint along the way. Don't stop. Don't quit praying. Amen. But we should keep continually praying to God. And so what we have here is we have a man who, you see, again, Jesus starts with the end in mind. Don't you like it when somebody do that so that you won't be confused? So just tell me what I'm doing right now so I'll know. So he starts with the end in mind in verse 9. He says that he spake this parable unto certain. Amen. In other words, one version said he spake this parable unto some. Amen. Those who trusted in themselves to be righteous. Amen. He made this parable unto some that trusted in themselves to be righteous. Amen. And what he wants them to, so he's talking to the Pharisee. He's talking to the Pharisee. Now, David Smith, in his book On the Days of His Flesh, says that the Pharisees numbered about 6,000. And that they worship themselves because of their outward conformity to the law. Amen. They worship themselves because of their outward conformity to the law. They worship them. And so this Pharisee, he stood and he prayed. And he said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, or I'm not this extortioner, this unjust person, this adulterer, or even like this publican. I thank thee. And the problem here is that he's addressing God, but he's giving attention to someone else. The NIV says he stood and prayed about himself. I'm going to say that he stood and prayed by himself. Because, you see, the request was not, he may have made the request to God, but then at the same time, he was praying by himself. He did not include God in the prayer. Neither did he wait to get an answer from God. He just simply went to the prayer meeting and started talking. Looks like he addressed God, but he gave his attention to the people in the room. The Bible says that he stood. The Pharisee stood and he prayed. He lifted himself up. He claimed to be righteous. He was holier than thou. You know any of those people? Isaiah 65:5. He says, stand thou there, for I am holier than thou. Amen. Isaiah 65:5. Stand thou there, for I am holier than thou. And he says that God says about them that you're like smoke in my nose. That's interesting. God said you're like smoke in my nose. God says, of holy folk, they're so holy. He said, look at that adulterer over there. Oh, boy, he ought to be ashamed of himself. And this guy over here, ripping for a bad business practices, you know, unjust person. And then this extortioner, he just forced people or coerced folk or bribed people to get what he wanted, to blackmail them. He said they ought to be ashamed of themselves. He says that, but I'm just as sweet as apple pie. I'm just sitting here talking to myself. But Jesus called them hypocrites. Amen. He said in verse 12, he said, I pay my tithes. I fast twice a week. And some writers said it was only required once a week. So he was really puffed up. He was really puffed up. And he said, I fast twice a week. And I pay my tithes. Notice what he says. Of all I possess. Amen. I don't just pray. I mean, if I get some extra money somewhere else on another job, I'm tithing on that too. And if I get any other money, I'm going to give God a tithe of all I possess. I'm just good. I'm the best that God ever ran up on. He was just full of himself. Pharisee, head on his robe. But Jesus says in Matthew 23:23, ye, woe, and that means something bad's going to happen. Unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Amen. Amen. Woe unto you. And you know what he says? He said, you pay tithes. In Matthew 23:23, he said, you pay tithes of mint, you pay tithes of anise, you pay tithes of cumin. And he went on to say, this ye ought to have done, but you have omitted the weightier or the more important matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. You concerned about the small stuff, but you ignore the big stuff. You're straining at a net. You choking on a net with your holy self and forgetting. Ain't that the way it is? If you're not careful, even in church, you can get so carried away with little old bitty petty mess. Stuff, I'll say it that way. You can get so carried away. until the big thing, sinners are going out the window. Sinners are not even being reached. Sinners are dying all around you. People are dying everywhere, and you're all talking about carpet. You all are talking about the music is too loud. You all are talking about all of these other things. And he said, you guys need to recognize you all are so holy till you are really ignoring what you ought to be doing and you're forgetting about what you ought to do. The weightier matters of the law. Some things ought to say, look, we can get to that little thing later. The most important thing now, let's win souls. If we at odds with each other, you don't like the way I dress, we can deal with that later. Right now, let's try to get the praise on so we can get folks saved. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It happens very easy. The holier than thou folk. Well, the fact of the matter is, amen, I'm going to try to, the truth is that he says that, you see, he went to church, but he was by himself. He was in his own world, and he really just was paying attention to the other people around him, and really there was no communication with God, and that's what prayer is supposed to be, communication. He didn't even make no requests. He sat there and told everybody in two verses about how good he was. No request. I didn't see no request. He didn't ask God for anything. Didn't, you know, he said he had a standard introduction saying that I thank God for this, but it sounded like to me he's thanking himself. And what Jesus said that y'all going to hell. In Matthew 23:28, and he said that you are clean on the outside, but on the inside you're dead. You're full of dead men's bones. He said in verse 27, he says that you are concerned about your outward appearance to men in Matthew 23:27. But in verse 33 of Matthew 23, he says, Matthew 23:33, he says that you all are really going to hell. Now, isn't that sad? They were wearing these robes, paying their tithes, holier than thou, supposedly doing everything right. And Jesus said, y'all going to hell. Jesus said, you all are going to hell because you think, because the way you look on the outside to men, you're more concerned about impressing people. The people at the church think you just are great. But God is the judge. Well, the truth is that what does God have to say about the situation? You see, the fact is, church, is that we should not be more concerned about when we go to church, we should not be more concerned about little things. But that's what happens oftentimes. We get into church, and we get overly concerned about the wrong things. He says that oftentimes church shouldn't be a place where you find out the latest in somebody's prayer. Prayer meeting shouldn't be a place where you find out the latest. Somebody's sitting around, you know, and they're talking about somebody else's problems or sharing somebody else's business, and it just shouldn't be, it's just not the place to where you ought to make a specific request to the Lord, praying for somebody, not about somebody. But if there's no request, and I don't care how much you say that you're praying to God, when your prayer ceases to be vertical, then you're not praying to God. You just doing like this man. You're really praying by yourself. You're praying with yourself. And he says that we have to be careful about praying when we go to prayer meeting and when we pray. We got to make sure that instead of talking about other folks' business, you ought to be saying, Lord, make me a better person. Lord, how can our church better do your will? How can I be a better witness? What you ought to say is that it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's not my mother, not my father, it's not the stranger, it's not my neighbor. But it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And he ought to say, He's sitting here bragging on himself, but he's not thankful to God for what God has done. And so what he does here is he's not saying like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, where Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, I am what I am because of me. I am what I am because of I fooled everybody on the outside. I am what I am because of the grace of God. Yes, as we consider this, we must understand that God is lets us know that this is not the way the prayer ought to be prayed. It ought to be prayed the way that the publican is praying the prayer. Amen. It ought to be prayed the way the publican is praying the prayer. And the way that the publican is praying the prayer is, Lord God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I'm not perfect. I don't deserve. Have you ever been sick of you? Have you ever been fed up with you? He says, it's not my brother, it's not my sister. He says, just be merciful unto me. That mercy seat is what he had in mind, that place of propitiation where the judgment seat that was on the top of the ark, amen, was turned from a judgment seat into a mercy seat. He said, I need to see the blood. And he says, Lord, I know I want to come into your presence, but I can't get into your presence unless I see some blood. And so he says, Jesus says in Matthew 26:28, he says, this is my blood. This is my blood in the New Testament that is shed for many. This is my blood, and it is shed for the forgiveness of sin. Amen. And when I talk about the forgiveness of sin, that is that seat of propitiation where he says that it is a forgiveness of sin. He says it is for the remission of sin, and the remission of sin is what this seat is for. And the remission of sin is where they separated the sin from the sinner. And that's what God did on the cross. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for, oh God, for what you shared with us. And we just pray now that your word will go forth and that it will take root downward and bear fruit upward, and that we will learn to lean and depend on you, and that we'll pray to you. Help us to leave this base place knowing that there is power in prayer. But we cannot go and pray without being humble. We don't come to church feeling like we deserve to talk to the master. We come, and as I come with a broken heart, a humbled heart. So I pray now that our hearts will be humble and that we'll say yes to you. This is our prayer. If we accept his blood. Now by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And we all said amen, amen, and praise the Lord.